He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen. He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
He is risen. I'm so excited about just celebrating Easter this week and the joy I have in knowing that Christ died and rose again for me and for the world. Thank you. Have a great day, and I pray for health for all of you.
Hello, church. I am so glad that you have chosen to join in with us this morning as we continue to celebrate our risen Savior. Last week, I heard some good feedback from everyone about how much they enjoyed seeing some of our church family proclaim that Christ is risen, and so we just wanted to keep that going on another week, and then even next week, we're going to continue to proclaim that Jesus is alive. And so if you're interested and you haven't yet been able to send in your video, I want to encourage you to do so, and I would love to include you in next week's home edition. I hope that you all had a wonderful time last Sunday celebrating Easter. And before we get to this morning's message, I just want to share a few updates with you this week. First of all, it has been a great joy on Wednesday nights to get together and meet for 30 minutes at 7 o'clock for prayer. And it's our online prayer meeting, and you can find the link for that. If you're interested in joining us this coming week, you can find that at devonshirechurch.org/events, and there's a number of things listed there on that page. But I'd encourage you to join us for a time of just seeking the Lord's face and for His favor in our lives. And then following that at 7:45, it's been a real joy to work through the Paul's letter to the Philippians with those who have joined in with our Discipleship Explored course that is meeting on Wednesday nights. We have some times, there's a group that meets on Tuesday at lunch for teens, and then also on Fridays we're going to be having a group for young adults meeting at 10 a.m. And so if you're interested in any of those, I encourage you to plug in to one of those spots as we get together and continue to spur one another on in loving the Lord and what it means to love others as we are directed to through His Word. Throughout this time, there have been some encouraging stories and ways that I'm hearing that you're loving your neighbors and being an encouragement to each other, and by touching base, by making phone calls, by doing video calls, by sending texts and emails. And so I just want to encourage you to keep on doing that, and especially right now in this time, wanted to encourage you to do that with your physical neighbors, those who are right there in proximity to you in your homes. And so there's a helpful resource from the group, The Art of Neighboring. It's a book, but there's a whole website that comes around that is an encouragement to us just in loving our neighbors. And so you'll find a link to that in the online bulletin and details there if you want to find some resources on just some encouragement and ideas on how you can better do that in your community right now. Lastly, I want to thank you for your continued stewardship in regards to your financial resources and the giving of your tithes and your offerings. I want to encourage you to continue to give as an act of worship, and you can do so at devonshirechurch.org/give online, or you can mail it in to our mailing address. And I want to share an update with you in regards to our Easter offering project that we shared with you last week, and we had a goal of raising $2,500. And so I asked Amy Jo, our missions and our world outreach ministry leader, to share an update with you about how that went, that we can just praise the Lord for. So please listen to what Amy Jo has to share.
Devonshire. On behalf of the Missions Committee, I want to thank you for your recent generosity during our Easter project. We raised over $3,600, way more than the goal. This money will be such a blessing to the pastors in Sierra Leone. It will be spent on Bibles, Jesus film equipment, and necessary vehicle repairs. I just want to thank you again for your generosity. I'm so proud to be part of this community. Stay home, stay healthy, and stay sane.
Thanks, Amy Jo. Also, I wanted to encourage you to be praying for our partners in Indonesia who are focused on reaching the Rajong people of Sumatra. If you look on the online bulletin, you'll find a link to the ways that our partner there has shared that we could be praying for and requested that we be praying for them during this time as they continue to strive to move forward in being faithful to the work that they've been given for the kingdom. Well, this morning, I want to take us back to the resurrection story and look at another account of what took place on that Easter morning, because the fact that Jesus is alive, it makes all the difference in our lives in so many ways. Last week we were reminded that because Jesus lives, we can know that nothing is impossible with him. We can know that Jesus' every word is true, and there is never a time when you can't trust him, and that no matter what we go through, because Jesus is alive, he is with us, and we have nothing to fear. And so today I want to go back to that story and look at Mark's account of the resurrection, because there's two words in that account that just leaped off of the page at me over the past week. And they're such a great encouragement to me, and I believe that they are an encouragement to every single one of us, no matter who we are. I want to ask you a question. Is there anything that you wish you had never done? Is there anything so embarrassing that you've done that you wish was never known? Here I am. I decided to record this message here where I had the basketball hoop in the background because I wanted to start off this message with a story from back in my junior year in high school. And it was over a Christmas break that our basketball team was in a Christmas tournament over at Redland High School. And the gym was pretty packed for the game. There was a lot of fans, a lot of people in the crowd and on the bleachers, and our team was on defense. And I picked off a pass and I started to head down the court for a breakaway layup, and there was no reason that I shouldn't get our team two easy points. A wide open layup. And so I'm cruising down the court right there in front of everybody, all of the other team, our coaches, everybody, and the fans in the stands, and there I am, and I'm flying down the court towards the hoop, and I take the ball up, and instead of the ball going up and nicely bouncing off the glass backboard and down into the hoop, as I went up, I realized that I was too far under the rim, and sure enough, as I went to lay it up, I laid the ball right up into the bottom of the rim. And it bounced right back down, and the ball never made it over the rim. Total embarrassment. I couldn't believe it. Well, let me tell you, if you've ever been in that position, you know that all you wanted to do, as the crowd was letting out a laugh or a sigh or a groan, all I wanted to do was curl up in a ball. I knew that I had blown it by missing the easiest of all the shots. Gratefully, that experience didn't ruin me from playing basketball the rest of my life, but if we're all honest, there's things in our lives that we're embarrassed by, things that we're ashamed of. It may be shame and guilt, and maybe the shame and guilt from those things have been such that we might feel like there is no hope of moving forward and there's no reason for finding joy and peace in our lives. Guys, this morning, the account of Jesus' resurrection that we're going to look at brings so much hope, brings so much joy and encouragement to each one of us when we may find ourselves facing embarrassment, facing shame, dealing with guilt. And so this morning, I want to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And that's where we're going to just spend our and give our attention this morning, Mark chapter 16. Verses 1 through 8. And so before we read this, I just want to invite you, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer, and let's ask God to speak to us. Ask him through his Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning as we come. our Father in heaven, Lord, to just thank you for the opportunity for us to meet and to gather in this way around your word. And I ask that you would speak, to our hearts, that you would speak to us in a way like only you can, and only you know how we need to hear from you. God, thank you for your word, and we thank you for your care and your love. And so, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now? In your name we pray. Amen. Well, here's what Mark writes. He says this: when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Friends, I want us to be encouraged by the difference that the resurrection makes in our lives. There is so much that can distract us from living in the power of Jesus' resurrection every day, and it doesn't matter if we're in a season where we're being asked to stay home, or if we're in a season whenever life is going on as it normally had. This morning, we are reminded of something that is so key for every single one of us to know. For all of us out there who have things in our lives where we're dealing with guilt, with shame, with embarrassment, and we're questioning, how could the truth of the resurrection make any difference to us? How is it even relevant for us? There's two words in this account today that just jump off the page that we need to hear. Here's the context of what we see taking place in this passage. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He's in the tomb. And these three ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, are on their way to the tomb to do what you would do in that day, in that culture, for someone that you cared and you loved. They're hurting, they're grieving the loss of one that they love so dearly, and they're doing what they can and what they know to do. We're told that they'd gone out, that they bought some spices, and that they were going to go and anoint Jesus' body, and at their earliest opportunity, they wanted to get out there and care for him. This is all part of that grieving and the mourning process that one would go through whenever someone would die. And if we look at the culture of the Jews, we know that the act that these ladies are going to carry out was one of great affection and one of great devotion. You see, they loved him. But they didn't expect anything out of the ordinary. They had spent time with him. They had heard him speak and share as to what was about to happen for sure before he was crucified. But they didn't have great expectations at this point. He would even though Jesus had said that he was the Messiah and that he would rise in 3 days, they were still going about business as normal. And in the midst of their going to care for Jesus, they were all filled with all kinds of questions. Who is it that's going to roll the stone away? Was the one that we're told of here. But I'm sure that they had a whole lot of questions that they were asking. They were dealing with all their questions about their time spent with Jesus and all the things that he had said he would do. And now that he was dead, how was he going to accomplish all those things and follow through on what he had said? But their question right now was, how are they going to get to Jesus? How are they going to get the stone rolled away? Friends, when the unexpected happens in our lives, aren't we much the same as them? We go through the same things, don't we? We have all kinds of questions. We just maybe can't see a way out, can't see a way forward. When we're in a bind financially, maybe relationally, maybe spiritually, I'd say we're right next to these ladies looking at life through our human eyes and how ordinary life works. We go through questioning God. We ask questions of why. Why did this happen? Or what now? What's next? Where are you, God? What is the point in the midst of all of this? The questions can go on and on. But here, as we look at this passage in verse 4, we're told that they get there and they see that the stone is rolled away, and they go in, and there is this young man, we're told, that's there. It's an angel. And in verse 7, we're told the two words, this message that the angel has, and in it there are two words that I want us to look at. Here's what he says. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee." Do you see it? It's right there in verse 7. It's the direction that he tells them. He's like, I want you to go and tell the disciples this. And what he tells them to do in going and telling the disciple is this phrase, "But go, tell his disciples." And here's the two words I want you to take note of today and be encouraged by. And Peter. That little line right there has a great amount of power in it for those who have ever doubted or denied any involvement with Jesus, or for any of those who are dealing with shame, with guilt, and embarrassment that comes from our wrong choices and behaviors that cause us to wonder if God could still love us or have any hope of a restored relationship with him. Mark, in recording this account, he's making a point by remembering to put Peter's name here. And what's the big deal? I mean, you know the story. But in case you don't, who's Peter? What did Peter do? What had Peter done in the day prior to Jesus' death? This is the Peter who had denied that he had known Christ three times before the crucifixion. Can you imagine the guilt and the shame that Peter must have been feeling after he had been so certain, after Jesus said he was going to do this, that he would never do such a thing, and then he goes and he denies that he even knows the very one whom he had spent the past 3 years with, the one whom he had seen do so many miracles, the one whom he had heard teach with an authority and a grace like no other, who just days before had washed his feet. And then now he watched Jesus die on a cross, just like he said he was going to do. Can you imagine what hearing your name singled out for hearing the message that Jesus was alive must have meant for Peter? If you look back at Mark's gospel, Peter hasn't been mentioned since his shameful denial of Jesus. His betrayal of Jesus in that denial is something that I'm sure he was thinking through in his own questions during the time between Jesus' death and the resurrection. And with that said, can you imagine what the resurrection message and the invitation to Galilee must have meant for Peter? What reassuring words those must have been to him to know that his Savior had not rejected him. Friends, this morning, these two words, "and Peter," are powerful. Because even in the midst of a time of defeat, of disloyalty, shame, guilt, embarrassment, betrayal, Jesus, the risen Savior, has a message for each one of us who has ever been in that place, and that is all of us. And he says in those two words, "I want you to know. I want you to know that I know what you're going through. I want you to know that I understand. I want you to know that I care about you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I am for you, and I want you to come, and I want you to meet with me. It's going to be okay." I love that someone once said, "The most precious thing about Jesus is the way in which he trusts us on the field of our defeat." Just listen to that. Hear that again. "The most precious thing about Jesus is the way in which he trusts us on the field of our defeat." Have you ever felt defeated like this? I know you have. I know I have. When you've let yourself down, when you've let your loved ones down, maybe you felt like you've even left God down, and you just don't see any way of turning things around. You need to hear this message to Peter, because he's not so much different than you and I, is he? If you've ever denied him as Lord of your life and been ashamed of him, know this, that he's reaching out to you. He's saying, I'm not dead, and I'm still reaching out to you and longing for you to come to me, even if you've ever doubted me. You know, as I think about this, it is just so hard to believe how amazing our Savior's love is for us and the care that He takes for each of us. We don't have time to dig into it, but in John chapter 21, verses 7 through 19, you can read this story about a conversation and an interaction between Jesus and Peter. There we get to hear the encounter between Peter and Jesus, and we get to see that Peter, who the day before the resurrection must have been dealing with all these negative thoughts and questions due to his own failure, that he has shown nothing but love and grace by Jesus, who says, Peter, I'm not done working in you yet. And Peter, I'm not done working through you yet either. Peter is restored not only in relationship, but he's restored to ministry. Such good news for us all. So as we bring this to conclusion, here over the past few weeks, on the days when it's been colder than I'd prefer for running outside, I find myself, I'm running downstairs in our basement on the treadmill. And I've noticed often during my runs as I look out the window that there is this bird that comes to feed the little birds inside the birdhouse that we have. It just keeps coming and going. This morning, even as I was out there, it would fly, it would poke its head in there, it would fly away off to another bush, and it would sit there, and then it would come back, and it would come and poke its head in again, and just caring for the little birds that are inside. And I can't help but think of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. He says this, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? He's saying, guys, don't fret, don't worry about a single thing. There's a lot of things that we can be worried about and fretful about, and many are right now. The anxiety levels are just going through the roof for some. And there's all kinds of things to be anxious about. And here, as we look at this passage today, sometimes we get stressed out and anxious because of our past and because of our failures and because of how we've find ourselves defeated and embarrassed and ashamed. And he's saying, don't worry about anything. I'm caring for you. I'm going to meet all of your needs. And what this passage says to anyone who is discouraged and broken by their past and thinks that they're too far gone, you need to hear this. Jesus cares for you. And he cares for every single one of your needs. Don't let the shame, don't let the guilt, the embarrassment of your past sins and wrong behaviors hold you captive from the saving grace, the mercy, and peace of Jesus and all that he accomplished in paying the price for our sins at Calvary. Guys, he paid it all. Every single bit of it. He paid it all. Everything. And so rest in that. Know that you are loved. Know that his arms are wide open to you and he's inviting you to come into relationship with him. Don't stay at a distance. We might be in a time when we are being asked to socially distance and physically distance ourselves. Don't distance yourselves from Jesus. Draw near to him, and he promises to draw near to you because there is no failure too great, there is no distance too far, there is no guilt or shame too heavy that isn't covered by his blood and the power of the resurrection. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 8 in his letter to the Romans. Listen to this, Romans 8 verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Listen to this. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And so who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Look at verse 37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you hear that? There is nothing, and that means nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that encouraging? Friends, the enemy would love more than anything for us to live captive to our past and not move forward and live in the freedom made possible in Christ. But you got to hear this, and you got to know that God is for us. His love is unconditional. He loves you, and he longs for you to trust him and to find rest in his everlasting love. Because of the resurrection, there is hope. Because of the resurrection, there is peace, there is joy, there is forgiveness, and there is new life to be experienced. And this morning, I want you to know that God has a message specifically for you. He cares for you. Friend, if you haven't yet turned to Jesus in repentance and placed your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins, I want you to know that Jesus has paid the price for your sins on the cross once and for all, and he bids you to come and follow him. I'm sitting here before a basketball court with that in the background. We might have messed up on the court of life, but I want you to know that that can't separate you from the love of God. He loves you, and he wants you to know that forgiveness. He wants you to know redemption. He wants you to know the healing, the joy, the peace, the eternal life that is possible through a relationship with the one who is the lover of your soul. And he wants you to come and surrender your life to him. You can know that better days are ahead if you would place your faith in him. And so hear that this morning, that our God is for you. Two words, and Peter. Two words. He is for you. And so this morning, let's just bow our heads and let's just receive that word today and that encouragement to know how much our God loves us, every single one of us. There is nothing that can separate us from his love. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I invite you to do so this morning, and I would urge you to do so. Just by praying this prayer, and may this be your heart's cry and heart's desire, this prayer of commitment. And let's just bow our heads and let's pray this, if that's you. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and you're a Savior. I am a great sinner, and you are a great Savior. And I now, this moment, as an act of my will, I commit all that I am to you. Lord, thank you for forgiveness that you provide. Lord, please would you come and take lead in my life as I surrender it to you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for kindness. We thank you for meeting us where we are. And thank you for not turning your back on us. Lord, we are totally undeserving of your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, this week as we go, might we find rest and peace and joy in your loving arms. In your name we pray.
Amen. I've been wanting to tell you something. It started with the fishermen. He taught them a new way of life.
He turned everything upside down just to make it right side up. Forgive 7 times? Try 77 times, he said. Just be nice? No, give it all over, whatever is asked of you. Do you want to rule? Try serving them.
Reach over the tracks. Yeah, go to that side of town. Cling to the eternal. Shake off the chains of this earth.
Sin messed it up. The whole world skewed it. But he made it right.
Our Father who is in heaven, holy and honored is your name. Your kingdom, it's come.
And I'm pledging my life to bring it closer and closer. to show the power of your divine love to declare deliverance from death and sin.
To all people, to each race, in every language.
Making disciples of all nations, I'll take my responsibility. Go all in. Make it real in my corner of the world.
The authority Jesus has already been given.
The kingdom that will come on earth as it is in heaven.
An everlasting dominion that will never pass away.
Because he beat death.
Coming as the King of the Jews and ending it all as the King of the world, his throne and authority are sovereign.
You heard right. Forgiveness with no boundaries. Hope under every circumstance. Peace that passes all understanding.
Because death is conquered, eternal life is established. Salvation through the King of Kings.
That's why we keep going. Why I keep telling.
The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the root, the offspring, the bright morning star.
Baptizing the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
From street to street.
Nation to nation.
He is the King. The power and the glory belong to him.
His kingdom will have no end.
And there's room for you. Room for me.
Room for everybody who calls on the name of the King.
His name is Jesus. The name above all names.
The first and last.
The one and only, and he loves you. That's what I've been wanting to tell you.
Well, as you go this week, out into all that God has for you, whether that's at home or whether that's in your workplace or however it is, may you go trusting in our great and loving God. Here's our benediction from Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
He is risen.
Real loud.
He was risen.
He is risen.